Wayne Hawks, champion trainer Wayne Hawks, has got a bit on his plate at the moment. Chautauqua jumped through a hoop on Friday at the Flemington Jump Outs, a big double at Caulfield on Saturday, and the Golden Slipper winner waiting in the wings. So it's all happening for Hawks Racing at the moment. G'day, Wayno.
Hi, Matthew.
How are you?
Yeah, well, a bit cold here at Flemington this morning, but at least it's not raining.
Well, it's such a big open space, Flemington. It's a cold place on a cold day, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's actually tricky. I was speaking to Michael earlier. It was -1 at Rose Hill this morning, so they're not used to those temperatures up there. So
no.
We're a bit better than what Sydney is, because Sydney will be, well, you know, Michael said to you, there's even frost on the grass, and we get that every day, and they don't even have it up there.
They wouldn't even know what it looks like.
No, nah, well, he didn't. He was talking like he'd ever, like he'd ever snowed at Flemington or Rose Hill. So it's cold, but it's winter time, and that's what we expect. So
did he have Esterjab trotting around to make him feel a bit warm and fuzzy? Where's Esterjab at the moment?
Yeah, she's back in the stable in Sydney, so if you can't get your backside out of bed to have a look at her in the freezing cold, there's no hope for you, is there? So she's back in work, and don't know where we're going to go with her yet. Everyone's asking, but not sure, you know what I mean? Just want to get her back in and get her ready to rock. And, you know, I mean, they did it, Portelli's did it with the, you know, they won the Moya, then went back to Sydney for the Everest and everything like that. And don't worry, the owners have already said, oh, the Everest is there, and we all know that, but that still won't be an easy feat, but it is what it is.
She's got to make that transition, doesn't she? I mean, in her, She Will Reign half did it, but didn't ultimately sort of, that 2-year-old season petered out. And I know you've had one or two Golden Slipper winners where they didn't go on. I guess you're going to say, well, she might be different, Esterjab, and she's grown and strengthened, and she's going to be a 3-year-old, but we still want to see it, don't we?
Well, The previous slipper they owned was Moss Fun, and Moss Fun was a good, precocious 2-year-old, and that was her job, and that's what she did. Esterjab actually wasn't the precocious 2-year-old. She was just a freaky, freaky racehorse that did some stupid stuff she should never have done. So ability-wise, from Moss Fun to Esterjab, there'd be 10 lengths difference. So, because Esterjab did stuff she should never, ever have done. So, but she's got the chance to come back and do it, but the old slipper hoodoo, it's not a who's who. You need to be forensics. You know, Hazy's good filly, Miss Finland. Mm. You know, I mean, I've missed some others there, obviously, but there's only a handful that have actually gone on and done the job. But in all fairness, it's like your 3-year-old crop that turns 4. We're all hoping for Caulfield Cups and, you know, the Derby winners, and most don't make it because you're in 3-year-old restricted grade to take on the big boys, and the big boys are bloody hard to beat.
That's right. And they can come from anywhere. Like Esterjab obviously won the glittering prize, the Golden Slipper, and had the big carnival campaign. Then you get one like Brutal who comes out, who for whatever reason was launched later and couldn't have been more impressive on Saturday. And I know obviously Esterjab is the star of the stable, but in reality, would there be a lot between a rapidly improving latecomer like Brutal and the established champion? Maybe the gap between those sort of horses isn't as much as it might have been 6 months ago.
No, you're probably right. But I mean, in all fairness, Brutal's probably not quite as good as her. She's a bit of a special horse, this one. And if she can come back at 3 and do a job, you'll actually see that she's a top class horse. So, as I said, we get carried away with the old slippers, but Brutal's just an immature, you know, well, he's not immature really, because he's by O'Reilly and he's getting there at 2. So, but his full sister was a 2-year-old stakes winner in New Zealand last year. So I was always mindful of that fact. And he could have raced last prep, and I just went, nah, he's not ready, and put him away and left him alone. And he's got a very good attitude, which really helps.
In the old days, people used to say, oh, winter racing's winter racing and spring and autumn is spring and autumn. But these days, the gap has narrowed, I reckon, on a Metro Saturday. All these big stables are launching these fancy youngsters all over the place. And the analysis these days with sectional splits and all that sort of stuff and that overall assessment of benchmark this and that, you can actually get a very accurate picture of the quality of the win without dismissing it as winter competition, and all the numbers added up for Brutal?
Yes, you're right. I mean, you look at Nature Strip. 20 years ago, Nature Strip would never, ever have ran over winter. He'd be spelled and getting ready for a spring carnival. But the reason, probably not Nature Strip, but you look at the Brutals of this world, why it's got stronger is because they're worth 100 and, you know, Saturday at Flemington, I was looking, I haven't got a runner, but there's 4 or 5 races. They're just normal races worth 120,000 of 120. So if you go and look at, I don't even know what it's worth coming up in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, the Vane Stakes, but it'll be a 3 times harder race than Brutal's on Saturday for 3-year-olds, and it'll probably only worth 150 grand.
Yeah.
So Brutal's running around at Caulfield for 100, And in there'll be a Waterhouse, there'll be a Snowden, there'll be a Hayes, there'll be Godolphin. You know what I mean? It'll be a very strong race, and it'll be a lot easier. So,
are you going to that race, by the way? It's in 3 weeks.
Probably not, because it's 1100. But you know, I mean, I'm quite happy just to poke along and smoke me pipe and win another $100,000 little race. You know,
and
what I
get to 1400, where he looks like he's just going to be a bit of a dominator. I reckon brutal. Is that where you picture him now as the next dominant performance?
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. But I just want to let him do the talking. And you're in sort of an awkward spot because you're sort of in the middle of nowhere at the moment, because all your best, your good horses are only just back into the stables now after doing a month's pre-training, and they're just poking along. Whereas you're up and you're racing, but you sort of more start looking at horses like Brutal for next autumn, actually, because you're going, well, we might just keep you poking along and hit the real start of the spring, and then you have a fat spell and you're back ready to crack at the start of the autumn.
Yeah, well, Rupert Lee was kind enough to join us later in the week, Thursday, and he gave me a nice little wink, wink, nudge, nudge for Brutal, which I'm very thankful for. And then he was off to Chautauqua for the jump out the next morning, and I reckon it was one of those things where, wow, that was fantastic, great to see him do that, but you just know that the story's not quite over yet. It's still going to happen again, and all that sort of thing. I guess you're wrapped with what you saw, but it's not an assumption that the issues of the past are completely gone now.
No, well, look, at the end of the day, I mean, we've got a few big hurdles to climb to get back to an Everest, and we're fully aware of that. We're not putting the cart before the horse. We've ticked one box, and he's going to Sydney tomorrow night to jump out this time next week, or trial this time next week at Rose Hill. So, I mean, he's got a bit more to go on, but attitude's outstanding, though. Saturday morning, he was prancing around, and he was back. And as silly as that sounds, you just everything was good with him, but Saturday morning told more of a picture, because he's normally, after a hard gallop or a trial or a race, he can be a bit grumpy for a day or two, and he was pinging out of his box Saturday morning. So that was a good sight. And you know what, from a race industry point of view, racing's the winner. It's July and winter, and you got arguably the highest profile horse between him and Winx, and one of them is making front page news. So it's good for racing.
Yeah, just on the connection between Tommy Berry and Chautauqua, we saw it with Brad Wheeler and Voodoo Lad, four wins, four rides, that jockey horse combination, the great relationship between Bowman and Winx. And it's no disrespect to Dwayne Dunn and others who have been with Brett Navdallah, but sometimes there is a nice relationship between horse and rider. How important was Berry on Friday, do you think?
Well, the Tommy Berry factor came into it because we didn't want to leave any stone unturned, and that was the only one that we hadn't sort of gone back towards and done. So we went, 6,800, whatever it was, business class from Cathay. It was obviously money well spent now to get him back for the ride. But I don't think it was the Tommy Berry factor. I'm very happy to say it was Tommy and everything like that. And I do want to make note publicly that the next trial came down and Dwayne Dunn had the fattest smile on his face, and he looked at Rupert and I and said, how good was that? And I mean, that just shows you the strength of the bloke. I mean, there's a bloke, Dwayne Dunn, that went to Hong Kong after Saturday night races to be there with us on the Sunday. And you know what? Rupert looked at me and with Peter Wright, the other owner, and went, that's a pretty special thing what Dwayne Dunn did, because he could be out the back kicking the cat, and that just shows Dwayne Dunn's attitude, which I really wanted everyone to publicly know that.
I haven't listened to a word you said. 6,800 return Cathay. What's first class? If business is 6,800.
Oh, I don't fly first class, Matthew. I'm not like you.
Rubbish. Don't give me that rubbish.
Well, there's no first class on Cathay, I don't think so.
Well, yeah. Well,
you know what? Tommy's getting the accolades, and to quote my brother, I don't care who rides it, as long as we can try and get the job done. So the end result is, Tommy's has a great affinity with the horse. He's won five of his six group ones.
Yep. And there is Tommy, that relationship between horse and rider, isn't it? I think we see it a lot with the female riders with some horses too. Righto, Wayne, good on you. Really appreciate that. And I think everyone's now excited about the spring, because to get a glimpse of Chautauqua is now we're feeling the intrigue again about what he may deliver. And good to hear about Esther Jarb and all that sort of stuff. So we're getting closer and closer, aren't we?
Certainly am.
Good on you, Wayne.
See you, Matty.